Father, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity around the Word of God today for fellowship as they gather together in the early church daily for prayers, for fellowship, for breaking of bread, and, you know, just for community. Together today, we have gathered around the Word of God. Speak, O Lord, for we are listening. And we declare that the entrance of your words will bring light and understanding to us today. Even so, let it be. Give us ears that hear, Lord. Give us eyes that see, and give us a heart to understand what it is the Spirit is saying to us at this time. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, a simple message today, but I think it's impactful and will be impactful. And the call and the question is, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the call. So we're going to read the background to a story where this line came from. And in Joshua chapter 24, we're going to see what happened there. You know, so Joshua at that time now had the charge of, you know, taking the people in and all the things. And they're moving forward. They're conquering. They're, you know, set to divide land and all of these things. So here is the background to the story. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and I gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. Ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called for Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came into Jericho. Came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, and even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given unto you a land for which you did not labor, the cities which you built not. And ye dwelt in them, vineyards and olives, which you planted not, you have eaten from. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods your father served on this other side of the floor, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floor, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful story. So let's look at the backdrop to this story. You know, and on this very day, Joshua was a prophet. On this day, people don't think of him as that, but today, he's a prophet. And he's going to tell them the word of the Lord straight from the mouth of the Lord. And, you know, he's speaking for God now. He opened his mouth and God is speaking directly through his mouth to the people. And he's bringing to their remembrance all the things that God had done for them. How God separated their fathers. How God gave instruction. How God even delivered them from various things. The land of bondage and affliction and so forth. Now he had brought them into this land. Driven away their enemies, done all of these things, given them a possession that he promised to their fathers before them, you know. And then, you know, these people are still halting between two opinions, you know. So Joshua is going to put a charge before the people. He's going to draw a line in the sand. Well, he's going to say, you need to choose who you are going to serve. The decision is urgent. It's this day, not someday. Say, choose you this day. That's today. You got to make a choice. You cannot be neutral. You can't sit on the fence. You know, you've got to make a choice. Now, this story reminds me of, you know, yet another man in the scriptures that also drew the line in the land like that. You know, there was a man called Elijah in the days of Ahab, king of Israel. Now, those kings of Israel, all 20 of them, for the most part, they were all evil. All of them. You know, now the kings of Judah, there were some good, some evil, some mixed up. But in the case of the kings of Israel, they were always all evil. You know, so there came a time that Elijah stood before Ahab, you know, and all the children of Israel. And he said, well, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then choose him. But if it's Baal, then choose Baal. But make your choice already. You know, so let's read this Mount Carmel challenge. You know, that we've read the challenge that Joshua gave. But let's read the one that Elijah gave to the people as well. You know, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. This is a good story to read, you know, from time to time, you know, so because of the way that Elijah put out this challenge. Now, we know that Elijah had called for a drought and all of that. And the Lord had sent him to the brook and the Lord told him to go and show himself to Ahab. On one particular day, after many months, close to 3.5 months of no rain, and Elijah summoned the people. You know? So Ahab summoned his own prophets too, you know, and because Elijah challenged him. And he came and confronted Ahab. Ahab asked him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You know, because you brought this, you know, famine upon us. Ahab said, Elijah said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your house and your father's house, in that you have, you know, deserted the Lord. You are the one that troubled Israel, not me. You know, you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you followed Baal. Now therefore saying that gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the group, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Now, this man, you know, bold. I mean, whoever seen of such a thing? You're going to go up against 850 prophets at the same time, you alone? Wow. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? Now, this is the question today. You know, if the Lord be God, then follow him. And if Baal, then follow Baal. You know, but this thing of today you are here, tomorrow you are there, you have one leg here, you have one leg there. No. You know, and the people answered him not a word. They never seen any such thing. Call them out. You know, they said, look, you need to make a choice today. Today. Not tomorrow, but today. Now, so that's the backdrop to our lesson today. And of course, you know the story, powerful story. You know, I said, well, you know, here's how we're going to prove who is really God. You know, he said, look, let these prophets, let them choose themselves a bullock. And I will choose one bullock too, but let them dress their own first and let them call upon the name of their gods to see if he can receive the sacrifice with fire. And then I will dress mine and do the same. I call upon the name of the Lord and the God that answered by fire. Let him be God. And so there's a choice you got to make. But we're going to show to you who that God that you should choose should be. And as the story went, you know, the prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the group, they went first. In their courses, they prophesied all day long, cut themselves with knives and blood gushed out. They leaped upon the altars and did all kinds of things. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Baal did not answer them a word. So Elijah is sitting somewhere crossing his leg. He said, you know, what? I mean, your God is he sleeping? Has he gone on a journey or whatever? I mean, maybe he's doing something and he's a bit busy. Well, why don't you call a little bit louder? He's a God after all. You know, she'll answer you. And he just mocked them all day long. They did everything they could. There was nothing. So then, you know, after the time of evening oblation, they started from morning, you know, hours. They've been there doing all this stuff. Elijah just mocking them. So when there was no voice, neither any that answered nor any that regarded, then Elijah came near to the people and said to them, you come near unto me now. Ah, glory to God. The people drew near to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, so that it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. See, there are different sermons that can be preached even out of this one. And cut the bullock in pieces, laid him upon the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on this burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And people are, is he crazy? How do you pour water on something that you want, you know, be consumed by fire? It's not going to happen. And Elijah said, do it again. So they did it again. He said, do it again the 3rd time. So this time around, the water has completely drenched, and there's now 12 barrels of water that have drenched the sacrifice, all the trench around it. The water is running over. The thing is completely soaked with water. So Elijah is not leaving any chance for the people to say, well, the ground was dry or something struck against something. That's how the fire came. No. Soaked everything completely in water. And they did it the second and the third time. When they were done that, so water was running everywhere. Filled the trench also with water. Then it came to pass, Elijah the prophet came there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel. Let it be known this day that our God in Israel, and that I am the servant of the Lord, and I have done these things at thy word. See, they already showed him what to do. He didn't just go there to try to make a show. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know. See, that's always the thing. When you put a challenge out like that, it is to the people to know who God is. That these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that today you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Glory to God. And consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And that's it. That's the moment. The moment. And Elijah was a dramatic man. You know, that was the moment. There was nothing like it. You know, the whole nation in one day, they confessed with their mouth that the Lord was God. And Elijah, but he put the call out there. You must choose who you are going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord? Then serve the Lord. Are you going to serve Baal? Then serve Baal. How long will you halt between two opinions? Now, even in the New Testament, we see, you know, at least one writer of the New Testament referring to this same thing, you know. So, it's like a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, James chapter 1 verse 8 is talking about that. You can't be double-minded. You got to choose who you are going to serve. Jesus made the call also to the people. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. You got to make a choice who you are going to serve. I'm going to tell you some more things about this lesson in a minute. But first, I'm leaving a background to where these challenges were made throughout the scriptures. You know, Jesus made the challenge. You choose who you are going to serve. Either this or the other. You can't serve them both, Jesus said. Well, let's think about that for a minute. Why can we not serve them both? I mean, why can you not serve two masters? Well, Jesus said you can't. You're either going to hate one or the other, especially two masters that are, you know, have opposite paradigms. You know, you can't do it. He said, you know, you're either going to hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon, which is, you know, the love of many, or the God over money, rather. The love of money and the God over money. You can't do it. But many of us are trying to do that today. The mammon in our lives, what is it? It could be your job. You know, in America, I talk about chasing the American dream, the almighty dollar. I never heard of such a thing. How can the dollar be almighty? Well, you know, taking over the lives of people. People make decisions, even Christians, you know, based on the money that they have, the money they want to get, or the money they don't have. You know, and it's kind of like our lives are driven by these things, you know, rather than the choice to cling to God. You know, and Jesus was telling them, look, the things that cause you to drift in those directions, like what shall we eat, what shall we drink, where shall we be, you know, clothed with what and so forth, you know, how do I pay my bills and all this stuff. So these are the things that people who don't know God follow after. Your own life should not be like that. And so forth. Told them. Now, Peter also made a call. And so I'm showing you all the places where people had was asked, you know, make a choice. Peter made a choice in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, you know. And in this chapter, now Peter is in trouble before the, you know, the chief priests and all these things. I mean, yeah, so forth. And, well, they said, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? Why then? Because in the previous chapter they did that. Why then have you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine? You know, and so forth. Why all these things? So Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, who do you think we should serve? Should we serve God or should we serve man? Who should we obey? You know, then he began to tell them. Same thing. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew upon a tree. God has highly exalted him, made him a prince and a savior, but to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses and even the Holy Ghost, which God gives to them that obey him. So he strikes a chord again in their hearts, you know, and he tells them. And then they say, wow, when they heard it, they were cut to the heart, you know, and they took the counsel to slay them. But the question was, who do you think we should serve? Should we serve God or should we serve man? I mean, you got your law and your threatenings and so forth. And there were other people that faced choices like this throughout the scriptures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced a choice. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, their choice, you know, penalty of death by fire. At what time you hear the music, you know, and all kinds of stuff that, you know, they play. You must fall down, worship the golden image that I have set up. And if you do not, well, you'll be cut in pieces, your house will be made a donkey, you'll be cast into a fire and all these things. So they found these three young men who would not do it, brought them to the king. The king loved them actually, because they were friends of Daniel. So he gives them another chance. You know, and they were doing well in the kingdom. They had been favored along with Daniel. The king is going to give them, is it true what I heard of you that you guys refuse to worship my image and so forth and bow down and fall down to the music and all these things? And they said, well, yeah. So he gives them another chance, you know, and said, well, if you'll be ready at whatever time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sabok, the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music. If you be ready at that time, you fall down, worship the image that I've set up, then it is well. But if you worship not, well, you should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who? See, this was his first mistake. Nebuchadnezzar goes up against the Lord. Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands, see? And you challenge God like that, I'm going to show you who that God is. But look at the answer of those young men. They said, you know, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not even careful to answer you in this matter. It's not something we have to go think about. Our minds are made up. I have decided. My mind is made up. No matter what comes my way. They said, look, you know, if it be so that you are going to cast us into the fire, well, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. You say, who is that God that can deliver? Our own God is able to, and he will. You know, so But they went a step further. See, knowing that God is able and that he will deliver you is a non-negotiable posture that your heart must have. You must know that God is able and that he will do it. Now, but then this is the sold out part. These people were sold out. We know that God is able to do. You say, who is that God that can deliver? Our God. They say, our God can do it. And he will do it. They were bold. Told the king to his face. But then, even if he doesn't do it, not because he's not able to do it, but if, for whatever reason, he doesn't do it, we still will not bow. Our hearts, our minds are made up. This made that king furious. You know, I mean, what audacity? How dare you? He asked everybody, you know, the people, the soldiers, and, you know, command them, crank up the fire 7 times more. But he himself was hiding behind a fireproof glass or something. You know, they cranked up the fire. They got close enough. The people that were cranking up the fire leaped on them and burned them. Because the fire became so hot. Nebuchadnezzar, on the other hand, was a safe distance away, looking through a fireproof glass, maybe. And he cast these children, cast them in there. Other people, they could buy them, cast them in. The first group of people that tried to do it was slain. They threw them in there. The others ran for their lives. Stay away from the fire. Well, they cast these children bound into the fire, hand and foot. And Nebuchadnezzar is looking. All of a sudden, he sees this young man who are bound hand and foot because they didn't want them to be able to run out of that fire. They're walking around. They just seem like they have no care in the world. And then he sees somebody. Did we not cast 3 people into the fire, bound hand and foot? How come do I see not only 3 men loose walking around, but also a 4th man in their midst? this one looks like the Son of God. He said he looks like an angel of the Lord. He looks like something. Yeah. You know, and then you know the rest of the story. But there was a decision, you know, a moment and a decision. And that had to be made. Daniel, in the Daniel chapter 6, he faced the same thing. The people knew they couldn't get him because this man was straight as an arrow. You know, and he was loyal to the king in all the king's business and everything. But he was also more, number one, foremost, loyal to his God. So they look, everybody was envious of him. How are we going to get this man down? We need to set an entrapment. And the only way we're going to get him, because he's not going to break any laws. This man is faithful in all his house. Let's come up with something that we know he's going to not do because of the law of his God. So they came up with this idea. Hey, king, you know, you are the king. You are the, you know, they are the head of all this and that. They, you know, spoke to his pride. You know, we've seen that. You've got a large dominion. Now, for 30 days, to make sure that your name is established everywhere and that nobody would think anything but the king, let a decree be made that no one will ask any petition of any god or anything other than you because you are the man. So he told the king, the thing sounded good to the king. I mean, it was unsuspecting of anything. So they made they wrote it, he signed it, sealed it with his seal, which nobody could change. And then they were looking out because it was an entrapment, waiting for Daniel, you know, to break that law because they knew he was going to not observe that law. They already knew it. And so Daniel, when he knew that the law was served into law or the decree, well, when it came time, as his manner was, he wasn't doing just to break that particular decree. He was just doing what he was always doing. As his manner was, when it was time, He went and did exactly what he did before. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whom will you be loyal to? Well, he chose the law of his God. That thou shalt not obey anybody else but the Lord thy God. He chose to serve the Lord. He chose to do his prayer thing and so forth. It was a business with him. And he wasn't going to let anybody take that away from him. And, you know, in the time of the prayer appointment came, he was right there. Opened his window like he used to do. Faced Jerusalem and prayed like he used to do. And they caught him and said, see, Lord King, did we not say that, you know, for the next 30 days, nobody should ask any petition of any God or anything other than you? Say, yeah. Well, we caught that Daniel. And so forth. Say, Daniel, yeah, we caught him. Hey, Daniel, is it true? So, well, you know, these people are asking me not to make petition of my God. I can't do that. Unfortunately, the king's hands were tied. You know, Daniel now had to be cast into a den of lions. You knew that story. And so Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. The king could not sleep. Daniel slept soundly. The king was troubled all night, even in his palace. He was troubled. He could not sleep. Daniel in lion's den slept very soundly. King rushes to the lion's den in the morning. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve faithfully every day able to save you? Has he saved you from the hand of the lions? Daniel, answer me. And I say, oh, King, live forever. I'm right here. Woo-hoo. Inasmuch as my God found no evil in me, he has sent his angel, shut the mouth of the lions. I had a good night's sleep. There were some of those lions that had these big, heavy manes, those, you know, male lions. They provided a nice cushion for Daniel. He was laid down and slept. The king was so joyful. Get him out of there! And cast all those men that accused him into the same place. Of course, the lions made mastery of those people before they even hit the ground. But you see, Daniel had a choice. In the face of death, he had a choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice in the face of death. What is the thing that we are facing today? We have not even, you know, the Bible says you have not even yet resisted sin unto shedding of blood. What is it that's making us to choose anything other than God? These people gave their lives. They were ready. Loved not their lives unto their death. According to Revelation 12:11. They were ready to die. Doesn't matter. I've decided and nobody going to change it. In the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 16, there's a challenge that Paul throws out. He said, don't you know that whoever you yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, ye are to whom you obey. So choose whom you are going to obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I mean, what are you going to do? There's always this choice that's out there all the time. And Jesus put out, you know, and his disciples and the apostles, they challenged the people. You know, Jesus himself said, look, when you want to follow me, that's a challenge. You've got to choose. No man, having put his hands on the plow, looking back, no, it's not fit. The story in Luke chapter 9, we told the other day, some people wanted to follow him. I said, well, but I got to go do this and I got to go do that. Jesus said, well, you know, you're not ready yet. You got to make a choice. Accept a man, deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. He cannot be my disciple. You know, deny yourself means you're going to get away from your comfort zone and the things that preserve your life, protect your life and so forth. You're going to be ready to give up your very life. Said a man hate his own very life, you know, ready to die for my sake. He cannot be my disciple. So all these challenges were throughout scriptures. Let's go back to the story of Joshua. Joshua gave him a background of how God found Abraham, called him, how he delivered them from from Egypt, you know, and how the Lord parted the Red Sea and all these things and so forth, and how he made, fed them in the wilderness, did all these things for them, told them all those stories, how he defeated their enemies. Well, the question that he was trying to generate in their hearts is the danger of what I call divided loyalties. You know, divided loyalties. Joshua 24 and verse 14. You know, instead of throwing away their idols, they kept those idols. You know, but God, on the other hand, well, he wants complete obedience. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. There can't be room for God and something else. You know, that's it. God wants to be one, number one, and then all in all. Except you love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You cannot love the world and the Lord at the same time. 1 John 2:15. All these choices are throughout the Bible. You know, love not the world. The same thing as choose either the love of God or the love of the world. He said, any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there's again this, you know, thing put in front of you, the love of the Father or the love of the world. So these challenges are throughout the scriptures. What are you going to choose? Here are the options, Joshua said. The gods whom your fathers served. That's an option. You know, the gods of the Amorites. That's another option. I mean, you live among the Amorites now. You can serve their gods. Or the God that has saved you, protected you, and led you by the way. Now, which one's going to be? Jesus put another choice out in front of people in Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 to 14. He said, look, there are two paths in life. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow way. Well, choose which way you are going to go. But he gave them instruction. Choose the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many people are rushing into it. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and there'll be very few that find it. But he put the choice out there. There is the broad way that everybody is going, everybody is doing it, so it seems like a popular thing. And today, you know, even believers are following what the world is doing, just because everybody is doing it. Well, you know, you make your choice. Or you choose the Lord. There are two paths, two masters, and two destinies. That's right. You cannot serve both of them. You're either going this way or that way. And actually, you cannot sit on the fence either. If you don't decide for Christ, you've already decided the other way. It's not, you know, you can't say, oh, I'll decide later. No, you are already decided. Indecision is a decision in this matter. There's no, you know, you just can't halt between two opinions. There's no way to hide. You know, Jesus puts it out there. Choose life. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Telling the people, you know, Moses all the time put the choices out before the people. Choose life that you may live. You know, choose obedience that you may have all these blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28. He put it out there for them. He said, look, I put before you today life and blessing on one side and evil and curses on the other side. Well, choose the life that you may live. He always told it. But if you don't choose the life, then you've already chosen the wrong thing. And all these evil shall come upon you if you don't choose to obey the Lord. He told them, the blessing which I've set before you today. And so, told them in Deuteronomy 28, very, very long chapter, all the blessings they will get in 12 verses only, but all the curses that they will get in 60 something or so more verses after that, of all the evil that will come upon them if they don't choose the Lord. But there was always a choice. 68 verses altogether in Deuteronomy 28. 12 of them for the blessings, 40-something remaining for the curses and evil. And also in Deuteronomy 30, he told them the same thing, shall come to pass, you know, the blessing and the curse, which I set before thee. It's always a choice. You know? Call them to mind. You know? If you shall choose to return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, then you know, all these things, good things. But if you choose the other side, then evil shall fall on you. Always telling them. Samuel told the people, you know, if you don't choose the Lord, if you choose this or that thing, and you did, you know, reject the Lord, there's the evil that will come upon you in the latter days. There was always a choice set before the people. Now, the choice that Joshua challenged the people for, and his own personal testimony was public. And it was a personal choice, but it was public and it was permanent. He said, look, as for me and my house, you know, I am going to serve the Lord. You know, now, in terms of, from perspective of the Lord, what can God say about you? Can God say of you that I know him, you know, that he will always choose and serve the Lord? Can he say that? Well, there was a man, and there were all these men, Joshua, Abraham, all of them that made those choices. Yeah. They had that testimony, you know, and some people even have testimony of faith written in Hebrews 11. God knew that they would believe the Lord no matter what. Enoch was one man like that. Believe the Lord no matter what. Please the Lord with his faith too. In the book of Genesis 18 and 19, you know, God says, well, I know him. He's talking about Abraham. That he will command his sons and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and judgment. And so, there was a choice that they were going to follow. Abraham had a choice to just let his family do whatever they like, or rein them in with an iron hand. You know, the Bible says if a man wants to be a deacon or bishop, well, let him rule his children with gravity there. He can't even control his own house. How is he going to order the house of God? Abraham was a man that did not let his family just do anyhow. Even his servants that were with him. Everybody. And follow the way of the Lord. It was a choice. In this house, it's what we do. And the Lord knew it. And the Lord said of him, I know him. What's God's testimony of you? Can the Lord say of you, I know him? He's going to choose to surrender. He's going to choose obedience. He's going to choose holiness. And he's going to choose faithfulness. He or she. Can the Lord say that of us? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And the Lord say that of you, that those of you who have denied yourself, you know, and have left brother and sister and so forth, will in this generation receive many things, a hundredfold. And then after eternal life, can Jesus say that of you? Can he say it of me? Well, that's the choice. You know, the choice today is a call to this consecration. I mean, the call today is a choice to this consecration call. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua told them, put away your idols. You know, now, consecration and this kind of choice is not an emotional thing. It is decisional. You make a decision. These things are reinforced throughout the scriptures. You choose to walk in the spirit or you choose to walk in the flesh. These things are throughout the scriptures. If you modify the deeds of the flesh, then, and you choose to walk in the spirit, then you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Colossians 3 and 5 puts a choice before us. You can either continue to gratify the things of the flesh or kill them. Mortify means kill. Multiply therefore your members that are upon the earth. You know, I mean, all these things, you know, we have a choice. And the choice set before us every day. Life is a choice. Every decision that we make, and even indecision that we do not make, is still a choice. If you decide to not decide, then you've made a choice to not decide. So, I mean, you know, everything is a choice. There is no, you know, middle ground. You know, is that who is on the Lord's side? You know, put it out there. Moses, put it out there. You're on the Lord's side, come on to me. Let's see who else remains. You know, you are, so there's always a choice. Who will you serve this day? 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 tells us the choice must be made today. Not tomorrow, today. Now is the accepted time. Today, not tomorrow. Every day when you hear it, today. Jesus said to people, like in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, he said, follow me. They had a choice. They had a choice. They could say, well, you know, I got to go bury my dad. Or I got to go do this. You know, that's one man that said that when Jesus said, come. He said, no, I got to go. Or he said, go. Sent him to go preach the kingdom. The man said, well, I got to go bury my dad first. Jesus said, look, you know, if that's the way you are. Another one said, look, I got to go bid my family farewell. And all that. Jesus said, well, if you haven't made up your choice, any man, Luke 9 and 62, puts his hand on the plow and looking back, is not fit for that kingdom. Make a choice. Today, are you going to separate yourself from the things that so easily beset us? Yeah, he said, look, make a choice, you know, to separate yourself from the sin that so easily besets us. You know, there is that thing. You know, what is it that's, you know, that problem? What is it? Is that mammon? What is it that is that thing that's keeping us from being sold out for Christ? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 puts another choice in front of us. Say, well, we have all these things that are in front of us, a great cloud of witnesses. Well, then that, you know, choose. You're either going to let your sin that is always troubling you, the distraction, the mammon, the whatever, you're going to either let it continue to distract you and choke the life of God out of you, or you are going to choose to put it away. We have a choice. Jesus told the parable of the seed that fell among thorns. The thorns choked everything away. Just choked the life away. You know? And all of that. So, what is it and what's the choice that we have? Well, choose the Son of God, then you have life. 1 John 5 and 12. He that chooses the Son has life. Well, if you choose the Son, then you have life. If you don't have the Son, then you don't have life. There's there's choices throughout the scriptures. Choose whose servant you're going to be. Romans 6 and 16 that we read. You're going to make a choice. Are you going to be the servants of unrighteousness or servants of righteousness? Which one are you going to be? You know, so that's the call today. And in simplest terms, well, take a look at, you know, take inventory, examine yourself. The Bible says, what are you being in the faith? See how you're doing, you know, when it comes to the things of God. Many people, you know, they don't know that they've made a choice, but their life shows they've made a choice. You know, when it is time to go to work and you know that you're going to be fired if you don't get there on time, you make every effort to get there on time. When it's time to come to church, though, you know, church starts at 10 o'clock, you waltz in there at 11:25. What is that all about? That's a choice. It's a choice. You've chosen that whatever it is that you were doing is more important, you know, than the 1 or 2 hours that you're going to give to the Lord. It's a choice. You know, the Levites and the priests, in the story I was told of the so-called Good Samaritan story, there was a choice. I mean, they had a choice. They saw the wounded man, but they chose to leave him wounded like that. It was a choice. But life is full of choices. You can choose to get off your high horse and come down and help the man, bind up his wounds and take him to the inn and pay for his care. Or you could choose to leave the man there like that and just walk on and do whatever. You know, yeah, it's a choice. You know, we have a choice. How you respond to things, situations around us, it's always a choice. You have no control over what people are going to say to you or do against you, but you have a choice on how you're going to respond. Life is full of choices. But the greatest choices, the greatest choice we have to make is this here today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, then serve him. Ye shall serve the Lord thy God. You shall love him and you shall cleave unto him too with all your heart. You know? But if the things of the world, I mean, if those things be your God, then serve those things. You can't have both. You know, you cannot have both. And you know, God is not mocked. You know, we can deceive everybody else, but not God. You know, God can see through all that stuff. You must serve him with all your heart. You know, there's a commandment, you know, that the Lord, let's look at the blessings if you actually do make the right choices. Exodus 23 and 25 says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. If the choice you make is to choose him as your chief joy, choose him as the center of your heart and the center of your life, then you shall bless thy bread and thy water, and shall take away sickness from the midst of thee. A lot of promises in Deuteronomy 28, you know, like that too. If you choose to obey the words that I said before you this day, and, you know, so that's a choice. You choose to obey the voice of the Lord or choose to do something else. Well, if you choose to obey the voice of the Lord and all these words and all these things that I command you today, then the Lord thy God will set you up high above all nations, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And he listed all the blessings if you make a choice for the Lord. On the other hand, the message is not complete if it doesn't give that warning. If you do not choose obedience, but you choose to harden your heart against the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, well, then all these curses will come upon you. So he told them. So we have a choice. Praise God. You know, believing the Lord is also a choice. You know, 2 Chronicles 20:20, Jehoshaphat told the people, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall you prosper. It's a choice. You can choose to believe or not believe. It's a choice. But if you choose, if you make the right choice, there are blessings. But you've got to be sold out. We got to be sold out to the point where, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, that, well, Eve and Job said the same thing. Said, look, it doesn't matter if, you know, he doesn't do it the way I want. Even if he slays me, he said. Even if he slays me, yet will I praise him. Even if he doesn't deliver me, yet will I serve him. Well, can we say that? I mean, do we have that kind of testimony? You know, that, look, it doesn't matter if he slays me, you know, whatever, I will still serve him. Thank you. Excuse me. Can you say that? Job 13 and 15. Well, Job said it. Well, you know, Don't, you know, I said, look, you know, if he saves me, that's good. But even if he doesn't save me, I will still love him, even if he slays me. Wow. Now, that's a choice. You know, so I have decided, Joshua said, we're going to round this up to where, from, to where we started from. I have decided I'm not going to let anything stand in my way of serving the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to look at my day. The day can actually stand in the way. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit interrupt the day if he wants to. I'm not going to let my job, my work, my this or that. You know, Jesus said, even when you choose your wife or husband or this and that above me, you are not worthy of me. You know, so you can, you got to choose the Lord first. There can be no demand placed on your life from even your spouse, you know, against or higher, you know, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in your life. You have to reject that thing. You know, you got to make up your mind. My mind is made up. Woo-hoo. I will serve the Lord. I and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that decision? Can you make that decision? Praise the Lord. Have you made that decision? Can you make that decision? Praise the Lord. Will you serve the Lord with all your heart today? Will you serve the Lord with all your heart? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am going to pray as I make this call. You know that if you are here today and you haven't made the choice, well, not that you haven't given your life to Christ, that's not what we're saying, but you haven't made a decision to go all out and all in. Are you all in? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Have you made it all in? You know, what if, you see, and this is the problem, you know, that people are going to face in the Great Tribulation. You know, if we are lackadaisical about these choices today, well, Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, you rejected me. Another will come, you will be forced to take him. And then people will have to, at that time, make a choice also. Are you going to serve, you know, the image that they set up? And are you going to serve the golden calf? Is it going to be about, if you don't do this, you won't eat or drink? You won't be able to buy or sell? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Well, you know, I pray that none of us will have to be there in the Great Tribulation. We can choose today. Put your trust in the Lord. There is a divine evacuation plan that God has. Extract the believers before he pours out that judgment. But it's a choice. You know, are you watching for the Lord? He said, well, choose to be ready when your master comes, whether it's coming in the fourth watch, fifth watch, you know, and all these watches. You got to choose. Are you going to be ready? Or are you going to let something distract you? Now, if you'd like to make a choice today, think of it as a decision that has great consequences. The choices, even in natural life, choices we make today impact the things where, I mean, that may happen to us tomorrow. You know, and some of the choice, I mean, some of the things that we are in today are based on choices we made in previous times. You know, the you may be here today because of some choice, either good or bad, that you made before. And the choices you are making today as well will impact your future. So choose you this day whom you will serve. If we choose to repent and turn to the Lord with all our heart, you know, then the Lord will turn towards us as well. You know, he said, I'll be found of you, and you seek me with all your heart. If we choose to let the things of the world take priority over our lives, then, well, we've made our choice. You know, that's what Jesus said. You know, everybody make their choice. You choose to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You choose something else, well, that's your choice. God gives us all choices. Adam and Eve, they had a choice. Choose to obey the word of the Lord, do what he said, and not do what he said to not do. That's a choice. Or you can choose to take the word of the devil over the word of the Lord. That's a choice too. We all have a choice. May the Lord help us to make choices that lead to life. Choose life that you may live, we're told. Children have a choice to obey their parents and honor their parents. It's a blessing for it too. Husbands have a choice to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's a choice. Women have a choice to honor, you know, and respect and reverence their husbands. It's a choice. I mean, we all have choices that God has put in front of us. The commandments of God are there, but it's a choice. You can choose to do it or choose not to do it. It's a blessing if we do, and there is a warning of curse if we don't do it. You know, so which one is it going to be? Who are you going to choose? But you got to make the choice today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. There's an urgency behind that too. You know, you can't put it off. You got to make your choice today. And even if you put it off, you've already made your choice. You know, so everything is a choice. To God be the glory. I'm going to wrap up that lesson right there and pray over the room, you know, and say, even in these simple words, find a choice every day in what you do. See the things that you do daily as a choice. You choose to go to work on time, that's a choice. You choose to arrive at church late, that's a choice. Everything is a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Father, I pray that the words that we have heard today will not be a judgment against us. Jesus said, I judge no man, but the words that I speak will judge. Lord, let these words instead be an inspiration for us to choose to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. We know, Lord, that it is God that worketh in us both to will and to perform. So even the desire to do the right thing must come from you, Lord. Therefore, give us the heart. Even as David prayed for Solomon, he said, Lord, give my son a heart, a willing heart to serve the Lord. I pray for myself, my brothers and my sisters that are here, that the Lord give us a heart that longeth and thirsteth after God, a heart to serve, a heart of obedience, a heart that loves the Lord and loves our brother and sister, a heart that loves to do the right thing. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I pray, O Lord, help us to make even difficult choices. Yeah, because Jesus said, well, it's a difficult choice. Sometimes you have to hate your own flesh. You know, you have to deny your own life. It's a difficult choice. We have to, you know, put the Lord above everything else. Ah, Lord, give us the grace today to do the right thing always in the mighty name of Jesus. Ah, my allegiance, O Lord, is to you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.